to the Inner Ho Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of
one.
Damn, homie. She's like, I can't wait to get the fuck out of here. Polyamorous black feminist living in New York City and some old friends, some old homies. Welcome, Shanika and Lucas. Yeah.
That's the crowd in the back.
So yeah, hopefully you guys have listened to season one. If you're new, welcome to season two, podcast about sex, love, and dating. Last season it was me and Shanika and Lucas as our audio engineer. Today we have a man named Wong as our audio engineer, and we have Lucas as a co-host. Because this season I will be manning this ship by myself.
Oh no, so I'm looking at I'm
looking at all three of you. I'm riding this dick by myself this year. Thanks, guys, for peacing out on me.
I need new dick. So sorry.
Damn. I simply need a dick that has a little narrative arc to it, you know?
But the way this season is going, I'll have a new coho, aka co-host, every episode. And at the end, hopefully you guys, at some point in time, hopefully you guys, the fans, and me, and whoever the co-hos are, will come to a mutual decision about who you want the new permanent coho to be. Or you might like me having sex with a new person every single week, yeah. And I'll just do that for the rest of my life. Or until, like, I don't know. I figure it the fuck out. But yeah, today we have Shanika and Lucas, and our overall topic is going to be Black Ho Story Month. But if you don't know about this podcast, we have several segments. They begin with Bay of the Week, Ho of the Week, Self-Care Tip of the Week. Then we'll go into Fuck That, which is our current event segment. Then we'll go into Fuck It, which is the topic of the day, that being Black Ho Story Month this day. Then we'll go into Fuck Me, where we talk about me and my co-ho's lives. And then we'll go into Fuck You, where we take questions, comments, concerns from you guys, the listeners. So you guys ready to start?
Yes,
shit
indeed.
The fuck up? Cool. Just a little bit of house cleaning. If you guys would like to talk along to this podcast on social media, you can use the hashtag InnerHoUprising. And if you would like to buy some new InnerHoUprising merchandise, dice, you can go to InnerHoUprising.com, which is something that didn't exist until now. Happy Valentine's Day, bitches.
What are you selling? What's on there?
There is a shirt that says Inner Ho Uprising on the front, and then it says MVP 69 on the back. And then there's just Inner Ho Uprising t-shirts, hoodies, and shit like that.
No thongs yet?
No thongs yet.
No garters?
No garters yet.
No thigh chains?
There is none of what you wanted.
Okay.
So sorry. Bay of the Week?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. We have a man named Kofi Siribo. I don't know,
but he's really hot, and then his point of view is even sexier.
Yeah, he is an actor from the show Queen Sugar, which I saw three episodes of. Anybody else watch that?
No, but now I will.
Lucas is, what is that? But yeah, he's from the show Queen Sugar. He's a nice little dark-skinned chocolate bae. And recently, he like made a post about how his mother and other black women like are essential to his survival and stuff like that, and how much he loves them. And some white woman was like, wait a minute. White moms do that too. White moms help you the fuck out too. And he was like, well, I was talking about black women, and I care about black women as a black man, and that's okay. So he's bae for that, because he said that, and he's attractive.
I think my favorite thing that he said in that little statement was, I shouldn't have to think twice about praising my black women.
It's really good. I didn't know that he was 22, because seeing him on Queen Sugar, he looked like he was 30. Not in a bad way. He just like looks like a distinguished gentleman. Yeah. But it's good to see a young black man who is famous just okay with praising black women.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes niggas be wildin'. That's all I've got to say on that. Hoes of the Week, several people who have just like supported the Inner Ho Uprising over the 4-month hiatus that we had. So I wrote down literally everyone, but here are a couple of people that I would like to shout out. We've got Melinda Janae, who wrote a really cool article about us on Blavity, that got like so many new fucking fans and listeners to the show while no content was being produced.
So thank you very much.
Yeah. Eb the Celeb, who also wrote a really cool article about us on Blavity. Steven paid a bitch while we were on hiatus. Taishin also paid a bitch and is awesome. He's a really good fan of the show. Alicia D also paid a bitch. And I fucking love her. She's Alicia Goddamn.
She salaries
D.
a bitch is what she does, you know?
Salaried. We've got The Cure Podcast, who shout out to Marcus and Terrell, who featured us on their show while we were on hiatus. Also, Play Cousins Podcast, Jameer and Lindsay, even though I didn't ever get to meet Lindsay. So Jameer and Robin, who had me on their show a couple of weeks ago. And then, as some of you may know, we took a hiatus because my mom passed away back in November. So people sent condolences. So special shout out to Paul N and Jasmine G, who sent us condolences, or sent me condolences to our Gmail account. Yeah. Self-care tip of the week.
Thanks, hoes.
I feel like I want you to say it, even though I wrote it down.
But yeah, you're just the self-care
kind of gal.
So make sure you take care of yourself this Valentine's Day. If you're single, Hooters is giving away free boneless wings. Giving away free boneless
wings. And this is what happens when
people.
You give me self-care tip of the week. I'm like, I don't take care of myself. I drink water and that's it.
We eat wings. But you do drink a lot of water.
I do, yeah.
My goal is 5 cups a day for the next month.
And then I'll move up.
Huh? Just checking in on Wong. He's okay.
He's tweeting like, I hate these hoes.
he doesn't forgive us, yeah.
He hates me.
Yeah, that's a self-care tip. If you like wings, if you're vegetarian, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. There you go.
That's it. Self-care tip of the week.
Wait, but the actual point of the self-care tip is that if you go to Hooters on Valentine's Day, which is today for you guys, and bring in a picture of your ex or any random person, like it could be George Clooney, nobody would know, and you rip it up in front of, I don't know, the Hooties, they'll give you 10 free boneless wings. But who even likes boneless wings?
I love
self-care
them.
Tip of the week. Now to a good old pay a bitch plug. If you guys would like to donate to the Inner Ho Uprising podcast, you can do so by paying a bitch by visiting our website, innerhouprising.com. You'll see a little pay a bitch button and you can donate to our PayPal. Or if you want some items in return for your money, you can go to the merchandise tab on that website and buy a cool hoodie or a t-shirt or something like that. Now on to
Fuck That!
The topic about current events, and let's start it off with fucking in the courthouse, shall we?
Yeah.
A woman by the name of Brittany Jones was in a Florida courthouse awaiting charges on a drug paraphernalia charge. Courthouse was pretty empty. She decided to give some head, you know? Why not? Why not have a good time? But she also recorded that and posted it to Twitter, and that brought about a big old backlash from people who don't like seeing people give head in courthouses. You guys like seeing people give head in courthouses?
You know, people
that's
give
no.
head hasn't been doing me a lot, doing a lot for me lately.
Okay, well, sorry. It started, the majority of the video was
it's
her giving.
I don't really like courthouses personally.
So. Whoa, okay, so you guys just hate everything, huh? Do you hate
I
mean, text too? Like,
I'm cool with head.
Okay.
The courthouse part's where I'm kind of iffy.
So, what's her name? Brittany was at the courthouse. She started to suck a man off. We didn't know who the man was at the time in the video. Then she mounted him. Yeah, they had a little sex. And then she took the semen from her vagina in the courthouse and she slurped it up. And then Wong looked at me as I was saying that and I was like, oh no, I can't look at this man in the eyes.
As I'm saying
slurped it up. So I just looked down at my phone, but I wasn't really looking at anything. There was nothing for me to read, but now there is. Yeah, so she she posted that on her Twitter with the caption, had so much fun in court today, found a way to get my charges dropped. Shh, don't tell. But the gag is that's not how she really got her charges dropped. That was actually her boyfriend at the time, which doesn't make it better or worse in my opinion. Like, if you can get your charges dropped by sucking some dick, I don't really mind.
No, I don't mind either.
Okay. I guess, I don't know, a lot of people were like mad at the fact that she fucked in a courthouse, mad at the fact that she uploaded it to Twitter, mad at the fact that she may have fucked a random man in the courthouse. And, you know, in regards to public sex, I feel as long as kids aren't watching or other people aren't watching, because that's sexual harassment if you're, like, fucking in front of other people, I have no issue with what she did. And I found it kind of hot. And I was like, should I masturbate to this? But then I got lazy and I didn't.
It also would have been strange if you put it in the document after you'd masturbated to it. That would have been, like, weird.
I mean, I may have touched my vagina.
All right. I did too, so it's fine. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Mutual masturbation.
I, you know, my only thing, public sex, do it. Be safe about it. I guess my thing is the safety.
What do you mean, be safe about it? It's like, this was unprotected sex, and the people were like, you're going to get pregnant like
Well, if you trust your partner.
Now she eats it.
But also...
Now she eats it.
I mean, if it goes in, it goes in.
But if you, like... I guess you have to trust your partner, obviously, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's like...
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Like, oh, like,
what
I don't,
is he going to do?
Oh, in terms of unprotected
sex. Hi, everybody,
sex,
we haven't...
It's,
oh,
like,
okay,
plenty,
yeah,
like, plenty of people have unprotected sex who are in, like, relationships, trust each other, trust each other, get tested. My thing is just, like, know the laws. Like, know, like, if you're going to get off, like, it might be a good risk.
Yeah.
It's also, like, people who climb fucking mountains for fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think people know that they can die.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the whole thing was, like, she was, like... on the video, like, moving the camera around, like, is anybody coming? And then when people would, like, when they would make a sound, she'd be like, shh, shh, shh. Like, she knows that she's fucking in the courthouse.
Yeah.
She knows that she can get in trouble for fucking in the courthouse. Like, that's the thrill of it. Some people are voyeurs, and they like having sex in public. Yeah.
Yeah. So my thing is just know what the potential consequences could be.
Mm-hmm.
Just know them.
Yeah.
And if they're okay with you, then, like, go for it.
Yeah.
My other thing is, like, I feel like public sex, it's like there's, like, the, you know, for the funds of it, but then there's also, like, people don't have space to actually have sex. So they have to have sex.
Speak
in some
on it, because this is
public
true.
Form.
Our sex happens.
You think
of
about
that.
like homelessness. Like, if you're homeless and want to have sex with somebody, or you're, you know,
good point.
Or if you're,
I've
like,
never thought about homelessness.
Yeah, you're not
before.
Out with your family and you want to make out with somebody. Like, it's hard. Like, people are just like, oh, get out of the theater, kids. Get out of my bar.
I mean, if I'm watching a movie and you're fucking, I will be kind of psyched about that.
Yeah, because you did pay money. But
and if you're fucking in my establishment.
But it's hard. It's a difficult
I understand
thing.
That.
Like,
yeah.
I would, like, if I was, like, a park ranger and people were fucking on some beach,
you'd
I'd be
them.
Like, hey, you kids, 35 more minutes and I'm going to come back.
Whoa.
You better be out of here.
Sneak is fucking people who can last 35 minutes. You hear that?
I just...
Good for you.
Just saying. Me and John here.
Long and strong. Yeah, and then I'll just go into this a little bit. I don't know, like, the whole, like, if you just delve into Brittany Jones, she's a sex celebrity online.
Yeah.
Like, this is what she does. I feel like every single place that wrote an article about her is either lazy or omitted that for whatever reason, but it's, like, a huge part of the story. Like, she has, like, hundreds of thousands of followers on several platforms, has several accounts on several platforms, because if you're posting sex on Facebook, you're going to get deleted eventually. And she just does this. She just, like, sucks dick on camera, and it's amazing. And I was like, I will masturbate to you later, but just, like, not today, because I'm tired.
I'd like to welcome you all to the Pornhub Sexual Wellness Center. This is a place where I, in my role as director of the center, will get real with you and provide you with real information you need about sex.
Moving on to Pornhub and X-Hamster. Mm. Yay, nay, do you guys like those websites?
I mean, they were a go-to in a pinch.
Haven't been on X-Hamster.
Haven't been on X-Hamster?
I like Pornhub.
Oh, okay. What do you mean in a pinch?
It's just like you're midway through and I'm like, I need something to spice this up a little bit.
What's starting? Sorry. Oh, your, like, imagination?
No, like, masturbating. And I'm like, huh, you know.
Oh, okay, you're just masturbating.
I could just
okay.
view some ass.
You don't start with porn. If I could just view some ass, that'd be great right now. But if I can't, I'll do what I can.
I'll do my best. That's my relationship to Pornhub and X-Hamster.
Okay. I think that's cool that you start masturbating without porn, Lucas.
What?
Do you start masturbating without porn, or you just go to the porn?
There was one time, and that did not end well.
With porn or without?
Without.
What happened?
That time.
Oh, we don't discuss that time on the Uprising podcast. So moving on. Pornhub is now offering free sexual education, and X-Hamster is doing the same. So I think on, like, February 2nd, Pornhub launched pornhub.com/sex, which I find hilarious because I just feel like a 13-year-old would be like, how do I find sex easiest? /sex. And they get sex ed because sex ed in America sucks. So it's good. And that's being ran by a clinical psychologist who specializes in sex named Lori Batito. And I don't know. Have you guys looked on the website?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I think
it's a good in theory, but I just think it's a boring looking website.
It looks like a basic bitch sex ed.
It looks website. Like a basic bitch website for Pornhub money. Yeah, like, what the fuck is up with that? Lucas, have you been on it?
No.
Lucas did.
I was in public like for most of the day yesterday.
These are completely clean. Both the Pornhub and X Hamster sex ed websites are completely like clean looking.
I don't think they should be. I think you got it. If you're gonna be a porn website, like
raunch it up. Like, X Hamster shit is hosted on YouTube, so you can't. Mm. I mean, you could sexualize it, but you can't like full on. This is what a penis going into an asshole looks like.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounded a little dry.
You're right.
Some coconut oil.
It's
too very
dry hands.
Yeah, but basically it's like several articles. I just think it would be raunched up. That's not the right word. But I think it would be better if they had videos at the very least.
Yeah.
That's just what kids seem to do these days. So yeah, but it's several articles and it's organized into health, which is reproductive health, STDs in your body, and then there's another category just dedicated to sexuality called Q&A, real talk, which I don't know what the difference between real talk and Q&A is. Like, they're just talking about sexual stuff in real talk, but I don't know why or how they pick it, and then relationships.
It's poorly designed. That's all it is.
Do you want to be the designer?
No. I can critique websites, but I can't make them.
Do you see it going anywhere?
Crash and burn. I want it to do well because I feel like our government is failing us. Like, I firmly believe that we have the right. Everybody's in the right to an education. Is that in the Constitution? Oops, that's where I give myself away. I don't know anything about it.
I think that's designated to the states. I think that's like a state basis.
What's up, Lucas? Right.
Education is not in the Constitution.
I feel like it should be. I feel like it's a human right to be fully educated about at least like the basics of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And like to deprive people of like, hey, here's what happens if I put my dick in somebody or if the opposite happens or if whatever, you know.
It explodes. Wait, does my dick explode? That's what Ms. Jackson told me. So speaking of... That's why he was sorry. So yeah, speaking of the government, so Pornhub just did that. I don't know why they did it. Maybe it's because they realized that sex ed sucks. But X Hamster has this website, and they recently did a gag for their website that has to do with something that's going on in Utah. So recently, Utah, the entire state, struck down a bill that would allow parents to choose sex education, the type of sex education that their child would be receiving. So basically the bill stated that parents had the option of like writing in whether they wanted their child to engage in to learn abstinence only sex or a comprehensive sex education, which it would include like talking about gay people, talking about contraception, talking about sex for pleasure, just everything in regards mm-hmm. to sex that it's appropriate for a school-age child to know. And they struck that down, which sucks. Like, how does a person's parent not even have the right to say what type of education they're getting? But yeah, that happened in Utah. And in response, X Hamster started to redirect all Utah traffic, like traffic from their website that was coming from people from Utah, to their sex ed website, which is called The Box. It's hosted on YouTube. And basically, I mean, it's kind of like the Pornhub thing, but they do it on a Q&A basis only. And it's like videos that are just answering the questions that users send in.
I like that they're doing it because, I know, kids are watching porn. And if they're going to watch porn, it's great to have porn sites give you information that your schools and government won't give you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I just hope they're comprehensive, you know, like what was she like, clinical something, like a very professional woman? I don't know, but
the Pornhub lady, honestly, the Pornhub website seems like it's more of an actual education for people who would be children looking at that, but the X Hamster thing is kind of just like questions about sex that people have and we're gonna answer it. So I think that the X Hamster thing has
more of an entertainment.
Yeah, and also more of a, like, it's targeted to more of an older audience or people who are actually having sex.
I see, okay.
And Pornhub seems more like people who might not be having sex yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're both positive things compared to sex-negative state governments.
Yeah, compared to abstinence. Funny thing about Utah, last year they declared porn a public health hazard. Conversely, they are also number one in porn subscriptions. They're the number one state in porn subscriptions.
Well, I guess I see why they'd feel the need then to
think what is going on?
Because everybody's watching so much porn.
Or maybe everybody's watching so much porn because they have no idea what's going on. Yeah. They were like pornhub.com/sex. Like, maybe, what is sex? How do I do it?
Maybe porn is just consumed at such a rate that people are literally like
dropping their lives in YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Why were you at work today? Ugh, Pornhub like 10 new videos. I had to watch all of them. Moving on
twice.
To
twice.
Twice.
I said I can't believe that somebody that I would be married to would vote for someone whose track record is so obviously poor.
A wife left her husband of 22 years because he voted for Trump. Yeah. So this is, Shanker gave a mini applause there, so did Lucas. This is the story of Gail McCormick, who is 73 years old, Californian, also a retired prison guard. She's a self-described Democrat who leans towards socialism. And last year, when the election was coming up, her husband casually mentioned during a brunch with friends that he would be voting for Trump. And she was like, nah, nigga, I'm out. I can't deal with that. The thing is that her husband has been a conservative Republican, I guess, since the beginning of their relationship. And mm-hmm. she knew that this whole time. But, like, him voting for Trump was the stand that made her realize, what exactly did she say? She didn't want to spend the rest of her life arguing her point of view, and she felt that him doing that betrayed her. But as a woman, she's a white woman, but just as a woman married to someone who was like supporting Republican policies, he was always betraying you.
Yeah, but
Trump,
like,
is just an asshole about it.
Yeah.
And he's ODing. He's like, he'll do stuff that Republicans wanted to do over time in, like, 2 seconds. Like, it's only been, like, two, three weeks that he's been in office.
And be real antagonistic about the way he says it.
Yeah.
Let's go but nuclear.
It was also,
kill those babies.
It was also always happening. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess when you love someone, it's cool to turn a... It's okay, or you rationalize it in your mind to turn a blind eye.
Until they elect a demon.
I also feel like maybe that's like the miseducation of people, because like they're all demons.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, it's because I feel like Trump, he like, there's no subtext with him. He's just all mm-hmm. up front. So it's like, okay, if the subtext is we don't respect women, here's a man who's saying, yeah, we don't respect women. Then it's a lot easier than saying, oh, I respect women. I just very much care about children. I care about the taxpayer's dollar. Like, I think you can like very much code your hatred in a way that seems unoffensive to the unwoke person.
Mm-hmm.
So I get why, like, having him vote for Trump, when Trump is such, like, he's really, like, proud of his bigotry.
I also feel like as a socialist, she should be able to read past coded language. Because...
Yeah. Well...
I don't know about this point, but maybe a couple of years ago, I don't think the average person knew or cared what socialism was.
No.
So if you're going into politics, I'm not saying that that's deep or anything, but if you're going into politics that deep, then you should be able to read behind Republican bullshit. Yeah. But maybe her husband's dick was that good.
I was going to say, maybe something else was going on in the relationship, and like, she's just
yeah, maybe
using
she
Trump
really loved him
to get out of it.
But, oh yeah, I was thinking that as well. Like, maybe she actually hates this man. But I don't think she does, because they're not divorced. They say that they're too old to get divorced at this point in their lives. They'll still be going on vacations together. They've just moved out. So maybe so. Maybe she was like, I still love you, but like, I have polyamorous leanings and I'm trying to fuck some, trying to fuck some 73-year-old niggas.
Or she is in it for the dick. Cause what do you do on vacation? Like, what else do you do?
No, maybe she still loves him, but just wants to like poke around before she kicks the can.
What's that?
See the sights.
Exactly.
Fucking public.
That's what vacation is.
Congratulations, lady.
Yeah. Would you guys, no, you wouldn't. It's stupid to ask that question. Be in a relationship with someone who was that different from your political
ideas? No, I can't.
How different can they be for you to still be in a relationship with them? Not different
like
at all?
It has to be, I think it has to be similar intent. Like,
okay.
I don't know, it's hard though. I'm like a very, like, I'm like universal wage, universal healthcare. I'm like fairly radical. And John is like
so
on the same radical edge.
Those things shouldn't be radical.
No, they shouldn't be.
Or thought as radical.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't have you be like, well, someone has to pay for it. The people who have money should pay for it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that shit.
What if someone just didn't know or care about that?
And then I can't do it, because you choosing not to care is you choosing not to care about me and my issues.
Okay.
So you don't care about me.
What if they just don't know?
Oh.
But expect you to teach them.
Oh.
Now there's effort.
Yeah, and then it's like, it's like, all right, if I'm going to teach you these things, you're going to teach me something? You're going to cook for me? Like, and it's like, then that's when I'm like, okay. It depends on, like, my emotional energy. If I have the energy for it, and then, like, if there's, like, a good learning curve where you just 3 months, and then you're like, okay, I'm already reading, like, I don't know, seminal feminist works, then okay. Then it's fine. But, like, so I don't know. It's hard. It's a gray area.
Okay, that's a gray area. Always you in the gray area. How about you, Lucas? Someone who doesn't agree at all. Like, let's say you're a very left liberal and someone's like a center liberal.
Yeah, I guess that's probably the closest.
Okay.
I guess that's the furthest I would go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still kind of a maybe. I mean, I don't really like centrism. So,
we here at the Inner Hope are very left.
So,
what if someone was more left than you?
Oh, that's
cool. That's fun. That's great.
You guys are fucking with anarchists over here? Yeah. Are you guys anarchists?
No, no. I don't fully know the definition of anarchists sure.
I don't think they want any regulation at all.
Oh, interesting.
Someone correct me if I'm wrong. Hey guys, Wikipedia anarchism after you hear this.
Yeah, and then tell us.
Write a little email because I have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Good question.
Would you fucking anarchist? That was like my name. That was where that was going.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Next up, we got black women taking up arms to fight racism and misogyny. So this is based off a Vice article and also a video on Vice, not on Viceland, but on Vice, that was produced by one of their correspondents, Wilbert Cooper, and it centered on the Black Women's Defense League, which is basically, I don't know, it's like your standard kind of like during the civil rights era, like how you had the Black Panthers who were advocating for the progression of Black people. These people are advocating for the progression of Black women, but also the protection of Black women, and they're not afraid to use guns if the situation calls for it. So they were founded by a woman named Niecy X, who used to be a part of something called the Huey P. Newton, who was a Black Panther gun club. And she left after instances of sexism, and also she was assaulted by a member of the group who she had been romantically involved with. He assaulted her, and she told the gun club about it because, you know, if you're for the protection of Black people, you should be for the protection of me. Yeah. And they were like, nah, we don't fuck with that, lol. So she left, started her own group for Black women, and now the Huey P. Newton gun club has basically said that her group is a feminist man-bashing movement. But as dickheads tend to say. But some statistics about why this type of thing is important. Black women are killed by a man every 19 hours and killed by a Black man every 21 hours, mostly in like intimate partner violence. And then if you look at like violence against Black women as a social issue, Black women are killed way more often in intimate partner violence than Black men are killed by the police. And then this is a group out of Dallas, which is notoriously racist and sexist. They have a high rate of police shootings and a low rate on resolved rape cases.
If you think about like state violence,
mm-hmm.
and the state is largely white people have the monopoly on violence. And I think if I need to own a gun in order to kind of even that out, for to have you think twice before you shoot me and like, you know, rob me of my life, my kid of their mother, like, you know, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I want a gun, be able to defend yourself, you know, make people fear committing a hate crime against you, because clearly people don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for it, although personally I don't know what I'd do if I had to shoot a gun. I feel like I'd miss and I'd still
well, that's why you like practice shooting a gun.
Yeah,
no, you're right. I have to be like
gun range
before I like had one on me at all times.
Yeah.
I need to feel like a fucking expert, mm-hmm. and like have like nerve tests, like that way, like in some sort of situation, like I want to be like,
you don't
want to
misfire.
Like, yeah.
I also too personally like hate guns. I like when you think about the stats of like if there's a gun in the house, like children are gonna get into it, or someone might use it or something like that. Like I just don't want it, but you know, this is Trump's America. And I'm doing push-ups to get strong, and I might start firing a gun to, like, fucking protect myself.
kind of want to bring into this is just how mental health kind of comes into that.
Okay. Very important.
Because I know for myself personally, mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't have a gun in the house.
Okay.
Just because I would probably, like, kill myself.
That's a good point. I was thinking about that as well.
And then there's issues of... Then there's that. There's also issues of... There's a certain safety concern, I think, like, personally, when there is having a gun in the house.
Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, knowing that it's there.
Well, knowing that it's there, and also if, like, a huge fight breaks out.
Yeah.
Yeah, people do crazy shit when they're mad.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a...
So true.
It's an imperfect solution to a very fucked up world.
All right, well, fuck it.
That's it.
Because we are going into
Fuck It!
This episode's topic is Black Host Story Month. And to elaborate on that, my intent, I hope this happens, is to normalize the sexuality of our Black ancestors. People are a multidimensional species. So I'd like to give an homage to the sex workers in history, the brazenly sexual, the sex positive advocates, people finessing using sex, and people who were just like, you know, fucking or whatever. And it was a little hard to do because I didn't know what the fuck to research.
Ask a librarian next time. They'll surprise you with their knowledge.
I should have asked the librarian.
They know some shit. Librarians will surprise the shit out of you.
That's true, because I was just Googling, like, was Rosa Parks fucking? Did they have sex?
And a librarian will be like, here's a book about Black women fucking across history. You can find it on this shelf in your local library.
Well, to get into things, yes, Rosa Parks was fucking. No, I don't have
any. She has grandkids.
Yes, Rosa
and
Parks.
Therefore she
I mean,
had
that
sex.
Could have been in vitro fertilization. Did that exist back then?
I don't know.
It probably did.
Back then? I don't think so.
Rosa Parks was fucking. So yeah, we're talking about Black Host Story. So I figure we start this conversation by talking about some things in Black history and sexuality, that intersection that you guys might know.
So everything that I know about, like, sexuality and Blackness mm-hmm. has come through, like, one feminism 101 class. I think, like, start to talk about sexuality when you're talking to kids. You know, like, you wouldn't talk about, like, MLK's cheating situation. Sorry, but that's like a
we shall discuss that later.
But, like, you wouldn't talk about the sex lives of major figures.
Not when they're kids, yeah.
And even if, like, we don't even talk about how economically radical these people are.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
you know, so talking about, like, who they're fucking is hard.
That's never gonna happen.
But I do know, hard. I know a lot of grim things. Hard. Like, birth control was first tested on, like, Black women against their will. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were slaves or just very poor women.
Mm-hmm.
I do know there's, like, a lot of rape happening with Black women in slavery and historically a lot of hypersexualization.
Mm-hmm.
Was it birth control? And then... Yeah, just being over-sexualized and undervalued as people.
Modern gynecology. Damn, I forgot this doctor's name. I was just listening to a podcast about it yesterday. But there was a doctor who was specifically there around to treat women on a plantation or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they had, like, ripping in their vaginal area after giving birth. And he was, like, trying to do surgeries to, like, fix that. But he would do surgeries on them, which is, like, okay, we need the surgery. But he would also experiment on them, and he would not give them anesthesia. But he would also do the same surgeries on white women and give them anesthesia.
Fuck that.
Yeah. And then there's Henrietta Lacks, who was a woman who had cervical cancer, who, like, a biopsy of her cervical cancer cells was then used to... There's, like, something called the infinite cell line.
Oh, that.
Yeah, and, like, the cells produce, like, forever or something like that.
They
and,
don't die.
Yeah, people use them to research, like, cures for cancer, cures for HIV, a whole bunch of stuff like that. She was a Black woman. It wasn't during slavery, but she wasn't ever... Like, she didn't consent to doing that.
Yeah. And then forced sterilization, women just being sterilized straight up, still happens today.
Yeah.
That's all I know. I only know grim things and like to know some not so sad things.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah. What do you know, Lucas? If anything at all.
Basically nothing. I knew some of that.
Mm-hmm.
A bit about Maya Angelou.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll start off by getting into some Black Host Story fun facts. Yeah. Some of these aren't that fun, but I think it's pretty light for the most part.
They were all fucking dope.
Yeah, they're like not victimization, but, you know, the people are, like, the subjects, not the objects. So let's start off with some Hotep-crushing information, because fuck Hoteps. Really trying to find stuff about sexuality in regards to Africa in general, but trying to veer away from North Africa, because I don't even think we're related to Egyptians. Like, I don't really claim that ancestry. But then also, Africa is a huge continent, and I just wanted to talk about Black history in regards to the rest of Africa. But all I could find was Egypt, of course.
Yeah, 12 research.
I found something about Angola as well. But, yeah. But, yeah, in regards to ancient Egypt, ancient Egyptian art depicted BDSM scenes of men whipping women while they were having sex with them. But then I'm like... Or were those women just slaves? Like, was that BDSM, or did somebody just see that? Yeah, exactly. So, who knows about that one? In ancient Egypt, having bright colored lipstick meant you sucked a mean cock.
Hmm.
Yeah. Nothing to say about that one. Okay.
No, my first thought was, I have an orange shade.
I can wear it with pride. I suck a mean cock. I feel like the equivalent to that nowadays is wearing a choker.
That's what those are about?
No, that's not why we wear them. But people say that on Instagram, like, ooh, she sucks a mean cock. No, I don't think anybody uses that phrase.
Oh, okay.
But they do say you suck dick well if you wear chokers.
Choker?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, that's like if you breathe, you a hoe. Like, all of these things are stupid nowadays. Like,
if
you're a CNA, you're a thought.
I'm treating them like facts. How does that mean?
I clean up people's shit. How am I a thought?
CNN, you're a thought.
If you're a CNA.
Oh.
That's a nursing thing?
Yeah.
What does it stand for?
Certified Nursing Assistant.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it
also means you're a thought, so.
Yeah.
And don't get it. I think those listeners.
It's a very stressful job. It means
you're fucking smart.
You gotta suck some dick after.
It means you're following the goddamn economy and going where the money is.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you're a rich-ass thought.
Or if you wear Uggs, you're a thought. If you eat Chipotle, you're a thought. It's all stupid.
That's like things Chipotle. That most people do.
Yeah, that's why it's come to, if you breathe, you're a thought.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. You're right.
This one is the funniest to me. To honor the god of life, a tomb, Egyptian pharaohs would jerk off and ejaculate right into the Nile River. Real
nice. Aiden has looked See, at me like, I was what? Only taught that a very nutrient-rich soil called silt happened at the Nile River.
Like, why didn't we learn this in eighth grade? Like, come on. People I wanted to go to Egypt.
History, we have to stop history sterilizing history. History is mad fun.
Exactly.
I would learn history through sexuality because I feel like
that would be really cool.
I only know shit through culture. I don't know shit by like dates.
Exactly.
But if I'm like, this is when people were wearing thick tights and were working in like factories making bullets instead of lipstick because it was World War One of them.
Yeah, I feel like history, like, you know, when you're in fifth grade, Martin Luther King is a superhero is fine for the level of comprehension you have at the time, but should get progressively more in-depth and complicated because people are in-depth and complicated.
Except,
but it just doesn't.
No, because Frederick Douglass is still alive today.
He's a great guy doing real good things.
Really
tremendous
getting his
effort.
Name out there.
But, you know, back to those pharaohs, like, people were drinking that fucking water. Why are you jerking off into my water?
There's also some tribe, some group of people that were, they would collect female ejaculate and drink it out of leaves before battle.
Wow. Who was that?
I gotta find that
shit. Was that Black history?
Apparently keeps
I think it was Black history.
That means you have to find a squirter, which is already rare, and she's like
or
squirting
maybe,
on command.
Maybe it's just cervical. Just imagine. It's a sweatshop, but like a squirt shop for the soldiers.
Yeah, for the soldiers.
That's what it's about.
I can't talk about
this. USA. All right, I'm done.
And that's then the Sam end of it. Is dead.
Moving on to some other. It's not ancient history. This is about like 500 years ago. I can't do math. 1600s. I don't even know if this is sexual history because I feel like gender representation and sexuality are two different things. I don't feel like that. They are, but I couldn't find that much history, so I'm going to talk about this one anyway.
It's not well documented. It's not your fault.
Thank you. So Zinga, a warrior woman in the Dongo kingdom of Bundu, Angola, she was a warrior woman, but she ruled as a king rather than a queen, and she dressed as a man and surrounded herself with a quote-unquote harem of young men who dressed as women. They were her wives. Or they were his wives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know if I should be calling her him.
Unless she was
and
a trans
the guys,
man.
Yeah, I don't know. And maybe she just married a whole bunch of trans women.
They.
Yeah.
They, yes.
They. But, like, it depends on how that person wanted to identify. It's not even our goddamn language. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I like that idea.
I don't even know what ancient, like, pre-colonization Angola
like,
people.
Yeah.
So next up, we got finessing as an enslaved woman. So this was actually brought up to me by one of my friends who, she's like an African American studies. She's like getting her doctorate in that shit.
That's dope.
Yeah, she's a badass.
Go her.
I asked about like black sex positive history and she came with the facts. Mm-hmm. So this is about Harriet Ann Jacobs, who is the author of a book called Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl.
I know that book.
Did you read that in that class?
I took a slave narratives class and I did.
Basically, she was an enslaved girl who grew up with a mistress who like taught her how to read and write, which is why she went on to like write this book afterwards. And her mistress died. I was so stupid. When I first read this, I was like, she had a mistress. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, that's real sexy.
The main chick. Oh my god.
Just a little tidbit for you guys. But yeah. So her owner, who was a woman, mistress, she died and then she was like willed to a little girl, basically, like a 5-year-old girl, and
set her free.
She couldn't write. Yeah, like why
set
did
her
you do
free.
That? Yeah, good point.
Don't do that shit.
But she was willed to a little girl, but like through the court of the law, I think that little girl's uncle, or maybe that was her father, came to own her. His name was Dr. James Norcom. Mm-hmm. And, like, once she hit 12, he was just a raping-ass nigga, which he probably always was, but was just waiting for the time.
That's when she noticed he was a raping-ass
yeah,
nigga.
Yeah, exactly. So he started to, like whisper disgusting shit in her ear in regards to sex, even though she was, like, 12 and his property. Basically trying to get him or get her to have sex with him, but she never did. And then she would, like, say things like, oh, I own you, so, you know, you, like, owe me this and stuff like that. And this was all happening or whatever, and she, like, just got sick of it because, you know, even if he wasn't physically harassing her, he was harassing her. And that shit sucks for your psyche.
Yeah, mental health and physical health are equally important.
Exactly. And people, I guess, like, this book didn't really pop off during slave times or whatever because, I don't know, something else happened. Like, a couple of years after it was released, but it started to, gain traction again in the 1970s and 80s because it like showed what the horrors of slavery were for like a woman who was a house slave because she had like white ancestry so she was very light skinned.
But that was better than being in the fields, right? Because I think in the field slaves died.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like rates.
It wasn't nothing was good.
Yeah, exactly. None of it like was it's good. Just a different but type
I think,
of.
I think people
shittiness.
Were. Yeah, no,
I would
have
preferred to be a house slave probably.
I would have too.
It
but
still
also,
sucks.
All of it. Slavery's bad.
Yeah.
Slavery is bad, ladies and gentlemen.
Sounds like a Sesame Street episode.
It does.
Slavery is bad. But, yeah, so at the age of 15, she was like, I gotta finesse this shit. I can't deal with this anymore. So there was, like, a woman in town who she saw who seduced her slave master, got him to fall in love with her, married him, and then he freed her and freed her children. So she was like, that's the fucking model, I gotta do it. So she wasn't, Harriet, I'm talking about now, wasn't allowed to marry any man of any status, not a slave man, not a white man, whatever.
Because of her ownership? Because she was...
Because of that guy. Because of Morco. Oh,
she
just said you couldn't do
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha, okay.
But she was like, nah, fuck this shit. If I can't marry him, I'm gonna fuck him or something like that. Mm-hmm. So she got this guy named, what's his name? Samuel Sawyer to fall in love with her. He was a 30-year-old lawyer, and this was happening when she was 15, so I'm already like, ugh, that's kind of weird, but she was doing what she had to do. I don't know what the fuck Sawyer was doing.
I mean, she was a slave. Like, she was, like, 80 years old.
She was 80?
Like, mentally? Like, I feel like if you're like, dealing with that level of trauma, like, you I hope you have, like, feel like you have
yeah,
to mature.
Yeah, I feel like mental maturity on her part was happening, but him, as a 30-year-old...
Was being a fucking creep.
Yeah, exactly, but... Ultimately, they got into a consensual relationship, mm-hmm. depending on what consent means for the time and the age.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, she did this to, like, tell Norcom, like, I got a man, so leave me the fuck alone or whatever. And he didn't. Her and Samuel went on to have 2 kids together. And she was hoping that Samuel would at least be able to buy the kids freedom. But Norcom was like, I'm going to sell the kids to people other than Sawyer. if you don't have sex with me. So she was like, wow, this is like a lose-lose situation. So that's when she ran away and went to live in the attic for 7 years.
Oh my God.
It was her grandmother's attic. So because she wasn't there anymore, Norcom didn't care to use the kids as leverage. So Sawyer actually bought them, and then they lived at the grandmother's house, but she couldn't see them or anything like that. I mean, she couldn't interact with them, but she could like see them and hear them through like a peephole in the attic for 7 years.
Yeah.
Which is like, damn.
That's intense.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's intense. Yeah. She was like having hallucinations and stuff like that, which is why like
I don't think she
solitary
walk
confinement
when
sucks
she,
when she got out.
No, I don't think. Yeah, she definitely couldn't walk when she got out.
Yeah, it was like very cramped. She was like passing out a lot.
She couldn't move. People
heat was a problem in the
rain.
In the, yeah, heat, rain, cold,
bugs,
depending the season,
the weather.
It just sucked.
The climate.
Yeah. It just sucked. But eventually, she did get out after those 7 years. Went to, I think she went up north to work. And then that the person who she worked for died, and then she went to England, and then she came back from England and was like, "Now I'm on this abolitionist tip now," and she became like a big abolitionist. I don't know. I think she started writing the book in the 1860s. I think that's in my other document. But like 10 years later, it came out, and 70s and 80s gained notoriety. Yeah. So
it's a very very accessible book. It doesn't feel very dated. Like you get what's going on. Totally check it out. So check them out.
Into other Black history news, Black host story news. Martin Luther King was a cheating ass nigga.
Yeah.
Dum dum dum.
I'm clapping for the facts that will follow, not because of that statement.
I mean that they go into the statement.
I guess I'm clapping for the perfect jokes I thought I had planned, but I can't access them in my Google Drive, so.
Oh, why not?
It's just the I have a dream speech turns into I have a wet dream speech. That's the one joke I prepared.
But did you a wet dream speech? Like, did you go that extra mile?
No, because it was in the form of a question, like, has someone done the wet dream speech?
Okay.
And if not, I got it covered.
Yeah, I mean, Black History Month is like a couple
trying to do a play on Free at Last.
That is funny. So how do we know this? So back during the Civil Rights era, there was a fuckboy named J. Edgar Hoover who was like spying on, he was spying on Martin Luther King and other civil rights leaders at the time to, you know, pull down the movement or whatever. He thought that Martin Luther King was a communist, so he was like looking into that, and he discovered Martin Luther King was a cheating ass nigga. And then like the fuckboy he used that to try to manipulate what Martin Luther King was doing, and he would like send recordings to credit Scott King and stuff like that, which I think is a sex crime to send someone's sexual recordings.
Do sex crimes like that exist?
Yeah, the government.
I don't know.
But it's also that like age old question, like if you're somebody's friend and you know they're cheating, do you tell their partner?
J. Edgar Hoover wasn't Martin Luther King's friend.
He wasn't.
If you have an enemy and you know they're cheating, do you send the tapes to your wife?
I mean, all is fair in love and war, but
it's definitely war.
I wasn't on J. Edgar Hoover's side of the war.
He's a fuckboy.
He's a fuckboy, exactly. Yeah, so there's that. They have all these recordings and stuff like that. And then also Martin Luther King's friends ratted out on him. Some fuckboy-ass friends.
But I think they're good people. Bad friends, but good people.
Yeah, Ralph Abernathy. It was just that he had a particularly difficult time with that temptation in regards to how he struggled with, like, being a... Was he a preacher?
Pastor? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Was it a pastor or a preacher? I've been to church six times in my life.
Wait, there's a difference?
I've been to church six times in my life.
I was at church last night. There is
Sneaky,
not
you
much
know.
Difference.
Okay.
There's not much?
If you're so what's the point of
you're pastor, you're preaching. I think it's a colloquial
So thing. Preachers are like
pastors
black.
Pastors preach to the congregation? No, I don't think
pastors
it's a racial
are
difference.
Black.
No, I don't think there's a racial difference.
I think pastors are
No,
because black people
my pastor is
black
a white
people
man.
Are like, my, oh, okay. And debunk white. My shit as soon as you can, because I'll keep going. Well, yeah, let's hear it from Martin Luther King himself. He was recorded saying, "I'm away." Thanks, Lucas. "I'm away from home 25 to 27 days a month. Fucking is a form of anxiety reduction," which I think is true and okay, other than the fact that he was cheating on his wife.
Yeah, be
It was. I mean,
would,
what do you mean?
Would Coretta have been down? You know, like, hey.
I mean, Coretta Scott King knew. I don't know if he ever was like, hey, this is the situation. Are you okay with that? If you're not, please leave this relationship. But at some point she knew and went along with it because He's Martin Luther King, man.
Yeah.
And it's like the future of civil rights.
And it's also that black respectability thing. Like, you can't be MLK and be cheating on people.
Yeah.
During the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
Like, that. Exactly. It's like you can't be black and do anything wrong and the right people condemn you.
Exactly, exactly. What is that called? Black essentialism? Is that what that is?
Sounds like a legit term that you could make up right now.
I mean, there is a term that I'm looking for, and black essentialism is a term.
It's definitely
I don't know
part
if they're
of respectability
same.
Politics.
Yes, good. That's a good term. Piggyback off that. But yeah, yeah. So it could have just, according to like his friends and stuff, it could have just been anybody on the road. You know, there were like civil rights groupies that he was fucking mm-hmm. with, but he did develop 3 long-term relationships with 3 different women, so... He was fucking women in the congregation, which is like, you know, that whole
it's also kind of
religious.
Hot. It's a fetish.
Ooh. I was thinking that. I was like, Shanika should write this story, like mm-hmm. fucking in the church, like a scandalous church story.
Yeah.
Apparently also, like a lot of the civil rights preachers / pastors were fucking at the time. They all had a lot of like sexual charm, and they were having sex with people in the congregation, and they were having sex with women on the road.
Good.
There was one story where Martin Luther King, I guess, left his hotel room and saw, like, his buds chasing Norwegian prostitutes down the hallway.
What?
Yeah. It was crazy. It was, like, a fun time, you know? Rock stars. I don't know. I like it. Like, there's except for the fact that he was cheating on her. I'm like, this
that's
is
the
cool.
problem. Yeah. It's the fact that you're, like, that's the kind of person who should be having a lot of, not everybody
yeah.
should have sex if you want to, but, like,
if people consent
have
to it, then he
for,
deserves it. He
yeah.
was, like, fighting really hard. He was tired.
For humanity.
Exactly.
And he was assassinated for helping people out.
Speaking of his... Why would I
speaking
laugh?
Of, yeah. No, no, because
speaking of the assassination,
no, like, I remember reading the notes, and I was like, "Damn!"
Speaking of the assassination, the night before he was assassinated, he had a threesome and then fucked another woman who wasn't a part of the threesome, all in one night.
Wow,
he was a rock star.
He was doing it. He's MLK.
He was literally doing it.
He's
yeah.
promising your freedom,
oh, yeah,
on Earth and in heaven.
Exactly.
So I get why that would be really hot.
Exactly.
I would have fucked MLK.
I too would have.
I would have fucked MLK. Would have fucked Malcolm X. Who else would I have had sex with? Who else is there? Who else exists?
Well, I think we've only got women on this list, but you fuck women too.
I would fuck them too.
No, there's
you would
also,
have fucked everyone
there's
on,
someone
this
else
list.
On the list.
So it annoys me that like the whole civil rights history has been kind of whitewashed, and we don't talk about like women like Ella Baker and stuff like that because she was a woman, and guys like Bayard Rustin who organized the march for what the fuck was it called? Jobs and whatever, the big march on Washington. He's the one who actually organized it. But people don't talk about him because he was like a queer individual. He was a gay man. So it's like Martin Luther King was a cheating ass nigga. Not to take anything away from his legacy, because his legacy is there. But other things are taken away from other people's legacy because it doesn't fit into like the Christianity ideal or just the ideal in general. Mm-hmm. That's not fair. But
yeah.
You know, life's not fair.
It's like the fight one problem at a time. First, we free the black men. Then we free the
yeah.
black women.
Exactly.
And then the gay black men.
Yeah.
And then the gay black... Like, it's just... You have to tackle a problem intersectionally. Otherwise, the problem never gets solved.
Honestly, if you're, like, ranking oppressions, you should go to the lowest rung first.
Yeah.
And fix their problems. And then, naturally, you would have fixed several other people's, if not everyone's, problems.
Yeah. Because you have to... No word. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, moving on to other civil rights era stuff related to sex. Black women and sex activism in the United States. We started that shit.
Did we? I didn't know that.
Well, the earliest forms of anti-sexual assault advocacy were formed by black women in response to post-Civil War sexual violence against black women, by white male rapists. So, like, you talk about the Reconstruction era, the time where planters were trying to rebuild after slavery because the economy was so fucked up or whatever. And people, that was the time where like lynchings came to rise, and also the rape of black women came to rise because white people still wanted to control black people racially.
And sharecropping. Sorry.
Yes, that too. Thank you. but yeah, the ironic thing about this is that like to control and impose fear on black people, white men were like raping black women in mobs, was that like the story that was being told was that black men needed to be lynched because they were attacking white women.
And
the
yet,
black male brute stereotype. Yeah, and yet that's what you were doing.
The white male brute stereotype never quite.
Exactly. Never quite. So in response to that, women like Ida B. Wells, Anna Julia Cooper, and Fanny Barrier Williams started to form things called women's clubs, which tackled issues just particularly afflicting black women. So, like, there would be white women's clubs that talked about, like, suffrage and stuff like that. And there would be, like, black men's clubs that would talk about just the oppression of black people overall, but Ida B. Wells, being the intersectional woman that she was talking about both. So they would do organizing to stop those rapes and stuff like that. Skip to 50 years later, the rapes were still happening, because white people just kind of suck like that.
Yeah.
So Rosa Parks, fucking as she was also doing advocacy, and she was one of the...
Despite all the fucking, she had time for some advocacy.
Exactly. A real role model, you know? So, like, maybe like 10, 20 years before her bus boycott, she was actually a leading anti-rape activist. And there was like...
Nobody teaches you that shit.
Exactly. It's just like that one moment. And that's the person.
Because children will never have sex, therefore it's not okay for me
to learn
that. Rape
is not a thing. Meanwhile, kids are like getting raped.
Yeah.
Like, teach me about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there was like big, like huge publicized, I guess, in the black community instances of like mobs going and like burning black women's houses down and like 7 to 8 white men like raping a woman. And they would advocate for those women and like organize against that and stuff like that and protest against that. And that was happening in the early 50s. And a lot of those women who were doing that went on to organize the Montgomery bus boycott, which is why we know of Rosa Parks or whatever. And they also went on like that fervor. People use that fervor to then move into the civil rights movement. Like, I guess, like, black women are being discriminated against. Let's talk about how we're all being discriminated against. But nobody ever tells you about that.
What about that woman who, like, apparently, like, it was, like, Rosa Parks with a woman, like, before her?
Oh, Claudette Colvin. I was thinking about...
I think it's
Colvin.
Drunk History taught me this. Like, there was a woman who... She didn't fit up to the respectable woman standard. Therefore, she couldn't have been...
Yeah,
Rosa Parks.
It's Claudette Colvin. She did a bus boy. I think Ida B. Wells also did this on the train. I think people were just like boycotting. Why it stuck to Rosa Parks?
Because
it's up to
she, yeah. She was.
I'm not exactly why, but like the reason why it didn't stick to Claudette Colvin is because she was like she did. She didn't remove like change her seat or whatever for a white man, but she was dark skinned and she was a teen mom or like a very young mother, and she just. I guess the civil rights leaders at the times didn't agree that she was, like, a good face for the movement, so...
Yeah, you have to be
She did that
perfect.
And, like, nothing. Exactly.
You have to be perfect in order to fight for your rights publicly, it seems.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Yeah. So that is, that's an end to our sex, hoe history facts. Now let's go into the main event, Thank you. An ode to... An ode to the actual hoes, your favorite history-making sex workers. Started off, Maya Angelou was hoeing.
Yeah.
In the same vein of MLK was a cheating-ass nigga. Yeah, so she wrote about her time as both a single mom and sex worker in her memoir called Gather Together in My Name, which is the memoir that she wrote right after I Know Why Did the Cage Bird Sings.
Oh.
And it details, like, two accounts of sex work. So the first account, well, she was, like, a single mom, and she, I think, moved away from home, was just trying to make bread. So
living out of a car in a junkyard, like, real shit.
It was
shit.
Rough times. It
with
was rough
a child.
Times.
With a baby.
Yeah. So she actually talked a lesbian couple. She talked a lesbian couple into being their pimp.
So, like, she was pimping or... The couple was pimping.
She was pimping.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
and they
that
were
was unclear.
They were two sex workers in a relationship.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, but I guess shit went south. I don't know. I didn't actually read this memoir. I didn't have time. I was doing this like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But I read about it, and she was, I guess, arrested, and they threatened to take away her child because she was a pimp, and unfortunately that's illegal. So yeah, so blah blah blah, time occurs. She fell in love with this guy who was a gambler, and he like introduced her to the life of prostitution or whatever, and she was a prostitute for maybe like a year or less, definitely not more than that. And something happened, like her child was being watched by someone, and I think they like ran off with her child, and she asked the gambler to help her out, and he was like, nah bitch, what the fuck you thought? And she was like, wow, okay, he's using me, doesn't care about me, and like this prostitution is like for his benefit and not mine. So she got out of that or whatever, but I feel like the main takeaway is like the way that she talks about it, I'll just read her words. I wrote about my experiences because I thought too many people tell young folks I never did anything wrong. Who, me or who, moi? Never I. I have no skeletons in my closet. In fact, I have no closet. They lie like that, and then young people find themselves in situations and they think, damn, I must be a pretty bad guy. My mom or dad never did anything wrong. And while I don't think prostitution is wrong, I think that Maya Angelou had a rough time in it, and it wasn't a good time in her life by any means. And she's like okay with letting people know that, you know, I went through this time, and it doesn't shape me as a person, and it doesn't make me a bad person,
and it doesn't make me eligible for shame.
Exactly. And then it's funny because like she was so upfront about it, and then it was still whitewashed from her history. And then like after she died, people started bringing it up again, the fact that she was like a sex worker or whatever, probably to just advocate for sex workers in general. And people were like, why are you talking about that? But like, why wouldn't you talk about that? If this is a historical figure and we're talking about the entirety of her life, then why would we like eliminate this certain portion of her life?
Yeah, because people like comfort.
Yeah.
People just like to be comfortable with other people's identities.
Nothing like life is not comfortable. No. It sucks. It's probably the worst thing I've ever been through.
Yeah. Wow.
Life.
Wow, Sam. I should just jump out that window.
It's the only thing
I mean,
you can
I didn't exist
through.
Before that.
Life is full of melancholy. And if you can't, that's why I advocate for teaching children how shitty life is early, because then you're not paralyzed by depression and anxiety
exactly.
later.
You're like, oh, I expected
this. Well, you still might be paralyzed.
Well, but life, at least life can be what you expected.
You have
it
a
to
heads
be.
Up, though.
Yeah, like, okay.
All right, moving on to other hoes. Malcolm X was a hoe.
Yes! I'm so glad he was, because he had great glasses.
He was hot. So, Malcolm X, God, if you don't know who Malcolm X is, like, what the fuck? But he was a civil rights activist and a prominent Muslim minister.
Yeah.
So how do we know he was a hoe? So there was a book by an author named Bruce Perry entitled Malcolm, The Life of a Man Who Changed Black America, which was another autobiography as opposed to the one that people normally read.
Biography?
Yeah.
The Autobiography of Malcolm X. Isn't that what it's called? It's like a thick little thing.
Was that the one by that guy, Haley?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Me neither.
But I know he talked about his hair in that book.
Ironically, the cover art for Inner Hope Uprising, I'm wearing a Malcolm X shirt.
And yet we know nothing.
I'm also holding a banana in my mouth. I don't eat bananas. It was all a lie.
Not even plantains?
But yeah, so that biography came out, and it was based on like 420 interviews from people who knew Malcolm X. So several schoolmates were called, and this is not about his sex work, but I feel like it's a part of the conversation. His schoolmates were called signs of either homosexuality or bisexuality in regards to Malcolm X's youth and early 20s. Like he would get head from the local boys, and he'd be like, yeah, I got head from that guy. And he was like, I just feel like he was like very boasting about it or whatever. And that would happen when he was like younger. And then when he got to his early 20s, he began having sex with men for money. One notable story, one famous client named William Paul Lennon would ask to be picked up like a baby and then have talcum powder. It's funny because we talked about talcum powder.
Yeah, no, it's bad if you don't use it.
Yeah, it's cancerous.
Ovarian cancer.
Exactly. Yeah, but the guy would be asked to be sprinkled with talcum powder, and he would like come because of it.
Wow.
Because Malcolm X was doing that. And yeah, I don't know, like he would talk about it with his friends. He actually wrote about that instance, but he said it was his friend Rudy. real slick, Malcolm X. But because of like all of the interviews that Bruce Perry got, he like surmised that it was actually him.
Wait, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, my friend Rudy.
I have a friend named Rudy and goes into very intense details about talcum powder on a man's balls. Oh yeah. My God.
But it makes sense that's why great. He was doing that at the time. Or
that's
whatever,
why hoteps because... don't make any sense because they're very like Malcolm X, like Black Power movement, very like black man. And yet,
yeah,
this and is yet a black homo- man who... homosexuality is not, people don't consider it like a masculine thing.
Yeah, I wish more stuff about bisexual and homosexual like civil rights leaders would come out so that. I don't know. You know, visibility is like a thing. Representation matters.
People can handle that. It's like, oh, exactly. The reason I have the right to vote is because of this person.
Exactly.
Who was also this thing.
Exactly.
I can understand that information. Exactly.
Which sucks because just because somebody does something for you shouldn't make their identity okay. But
yeah, you're right.
Some people it's need true. To hear that, I guess. But yeah, so...
it's all about the children.
At the time when he was doing this, I think he was also pimping and selling drugs in addition to, like, doing sex work. But he bragged... Yeah, you should. He bragged to his homies that he, quote-unquote, was paid to service the queers. And I just like that phrasing. Like, I just...
I think about his service elevator... that just comes down with, like, queer people. He gets in, goes up to the top of the building, comes down, everyone comes out. And then it happens again.
The queers.
The
yeah.
queer elevator.
I see him talking in, like, a 1920s accent, like, yeah, see, yeah.
Service the queers.
He just strolls into a bar with a cigar in his mouth. Yeah, I'm paid to service the queers. What do you know? You should really get on that, my brother. I don't know why I do that, but I do, and it's very funny.
It works. It works.
But, yeah, so, obviously, like, the Nation of Islam kept this secret because they don't believe in homosexuality or whatever. But, you know, it's like a thing that happened. And I am hesitant to say whether he was gay or bisexual or anything like that because people do engage in sex work, mm-hmm. Even if they're not of that sexual orientation or whatever. So I can't say.
Yeah, you don't want to label him.
Yeah, exactly, because he's dead and you can't do it. But people, like... hypothesized that he was because of like when he was younger before he was actually engaged in sex work. But, you know, you can get your dick sucked by a man and not be gay too.
Yeah,
paid to service the queers. Yeah, I got some head. Yeah,
you don't have to be so fast to label yourself. I mean, you can obviously if it brings you pride, yeah. But you can also just
be
have sex just, and enjoy yourself. Exactly. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
Consent. Be safe. Exactly.
Servicing the queers.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. On to other sex workers. We got Marsha P. Johnson. The P stands for Pay It No Mind. We talked about her.
Really?
Wait, but does it?
That's what she said.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
That's dope.
And it's not like her born name, so it could stand for whatever the fuck she says it was. You know?
It's like Wheezy F. Baby.
Johnson.
The F is for front dough, or
it's
whatever the fuck he says.
Phenomenal.
Exactly. Phenomenal. Yeah. Lil Wayne doesn't care about grammar. Anyway. Marsha P. Johnson, Pay It No Mind. Talked about her during Pride Month, probably, because I think they talked about, I think Stonewall just recently became a landmark in June.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Marsha P. Johnson was a trans activist, drag queen, New York City icon, commonly known to have incited the Stonewall riots, HIV positive trans woman, homeless, and mentally ill. I just wanted to give all of her identities because unlike Malcolm X, yeah, she had like hallucinations and stuff like that.
Ooh, it's hard.
Yeah. But so she was a New Jersey native who moved to New York City right after high school. I don't think her mom, I'm not sure what the situation was with her mom, but I don't think her mom was like fully accepting of the fact that she was, I think her mom believed that she was a gay man and wasn't completely accepting of that. So she just went to New York City to like do the damn thing. She was the first drag queen to actually perform drag in Stonewall Inn because she was like known for being friendly and stuff like that, and she was like really friendly with the people who worked at Stonewall. Other things about her, just talking about her activism because I don't think people actually know who she is as opposed to a Malcolm X. She helped form STAR, which is an acronym for the Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries, with a trans woman named Sylvia Rivera. Sylvia Rivera is really like the one who started it, and Marsha helped. And they just did a whole bunch of activism in like the 80s and 90s. Yeah, I guess the 80s and 90s for trans people after the Stonewall riots kind of jump-started the LGBT movement, but it really just became the gay men's movement, like the gay men's movement. Exactly.
Yeah.
And other people had to like
fight
help
for
themselves.
The right
yeah,
to be involved
exactly.
in the movement.
Exactly.
There's no fear.
So, yeah, they founded Star, and one of the notable things that Star did, they finessed a mob boss who ran a porn shop into giving them an apartment, and then they then converted that apartment to the first shelter for homeless trans youth.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, like, really awesome.
Yeah.
They also, they didn't start ACT UP. I don't know who started ACT UP, but ACT UP is an acronym for the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, and Marsha was an active member of ACT UP. They did a whole bunch of actions to, like, bring about research, treatment, and legislation to benefit people with HIV and AIDS. Because at the time, like, Reagan wasn't even acknowledging that HIV was a thing. That was an epidemic, let alone that it even existed. So she was, like, really active and stuff. And she was, like, known around New York City for, like, she was doing drag, but she didn't have much money or whatever because she, like, lived most of her life being a homeless woman. And she would, like, use recycled things to, like, do her drag and stuff like that. And she would, like, make friends with people at with florists and, like, make these, like, cool flower crowns. Mm. So it's interesting when you see, like, people wearing flower crowns now, like, being the carefree black girl or black boy or whatever, and, like, no one really knows who this woman was, who was, like,
you wouldn't think
iconic.
Of it as a trans woman. You'd think of it as a cis woman with very curly, perfect...
Exactly. Blonde
McDonald's hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she was, like, known around New York City in the 80s and 90s for doing this. She even got the attention of Andy Warhol. Not that a cis white man's attention matters, but she was, like, a muse.
Yeah.
And he, like, took pictures of her and did whatever he does to his pictures. I don't know if he paints them or prints them. But, yeah, so she was really known for, like, her generosity and stuff. Like, once again, she was, like, a homeless woman, and she would, like, beg on the streets. But when she had extra to give, she would just give it. Like, so if you saw her and was like, I like that flower in your hair, she would give you the flower.
That's so
and when
kind.
She had, like, $5 in her pocket, she would give you, like, $3. And she would also, like, give to other homeless transgender youth because she, like, knew they needed it and stuff. But... she was also a sex worker. It's not even really a but, it's just a thing. So there's this whole documentary about her called Marsha Pay It No Mind Johnson or something like that that you can easily find on YouTube. And I watched the whole thing, and she's just, like, so fun and, like, nice and stuff like that. But after the Stonewall riots, like, in regards to that, she said, when the Stonewall riots started, that's when I started my little riot. And then she goes on to say, wanting to get into this fabulous little dress and this fabulous little hairdo and learning to do makeup. And, like, the whole time throughout the interview, she's actually, like, doing her makeup and, like, putting on the dress or whatever and, like, putting on the hair and stuff like that. And she, like, leaves the interview all dolled up. She said, like, after Stonewall, she learned to hustle. And she got into sex work, and she liked it because people would pay her money to, like, enjoy her body. And growing up as what she... I don't know, it's weird, because sometimes she says, like, I'm a gay man, sometimes she says I'm a transvestite, and that was when, like, the word transvestite was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess now it's either a slur or literally means, like, trans-dressing, like, vest means dress in Latin or something like that. But she says, you know, growing up as a gay boy, I thought that the only thing that, like, my body wouldn't be worth for anything like that. Like, people would never pay me to have sex. And the only type of sex that I would be having would be, like, quick, fast in, like, the back of a parking lot or something like that. So she said she, like, got
validation
from exactly from doing sex work, but it was incredibly dangerous at the time. And I called her, like, superwoman in the document because she was, like, thrown into a fucking river by these assholes, shot by a cab driver after she just, like, fucked him for money, and, like, all of these other things or whatever, and just, like, fucking survived it or whatever. Got locked up a number of times because police would just lock up trans sex workers or
as
whatever.
As they do now.
Yeah. And, like, you wouldn't even be prostituting because, like, if you're a prostitute, you're not dumb enough to prostitute in front of a police,
mm-hmm.
In front of a cop. But, like, they'd just see trans people, quote-unquote, loitering, and then they'd sentence
think
them
you were
to...
prostitute, yeah.
Yeah. So she would, like, spend, like, several back-to-back what were supposed to be 30-day sentences, but I guess finessing into 10-day sentences. I don't know how. But, yeah, that was going on a lot. And then, sadly, ultimately, her fate was that she did drown in... either the Hudson or East River. And a lot of people thought it was either suicide, but a lot of her friends say she wasn't suicidal. Some people thought it was like a part of her mental illness because she would like hallucinate seeing, she thought her father was King Neptune and would see him in the river during like one of her bouts.
That's hard.
So they thought that it was that, but there was like a head wound on her head and she was thrown into the river before.
They think
this
was
a time
attacked.
When people were assholes and still are. So yeah, it is most likely that she was murdered. But like very influential in just the
gay rights movement. Exactly. That's a big
exactly.
Right
like
now.
The fact that we've come so far in regards to like HIV treatment and stuff like that is because of those people who were working hard then, because mm-hmm. policymakers weren't even trying to acknowledge the fact that it exists. So yeah. Like these are the people that you like literally owe your life to.
R.I.P. Marsha yeah. P. Johnson.
Yeah. Going into our next and last hoe, Josephine Baker. Or as I like to call her, Josephine Baker.
Mm.
Fan of puns. So if you don't know Josephine Baker, I'll just say that. If you don't know Josephine Baker, she was a dancer, singer, movie star, activist, international icon, bisexual woman with several visible partners. So like, indeed a hoe. She grew up in poverty in St. Louis, finessed two marriages by the age of 19 for like social mobility because she didn't want to be in poverty, so she was like, let me use these niggas. Don't know what those guys' ages were. I feel like they were creeps, but whatever.
She was just trying to live.
Yeah. No shame in her game. And then at 15 became a vaudeville dancer. I don't even know how to explain what vaudeville was.
Neither do I.
Da 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 da.
Yep. That's it. Good job.
Thank you.
I think we've all... we have enough to Google, and we're good.
Da, 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 da.
Play some
is that
of...
with three A's or four? But, yeah, that's what she was doing. Did that for a while, and then realized, like, this was during Jim Crow America, so she realized that she couldn't progress because she was being put into, like, a lot of minstrelsy situations and stuff like that and couldn't be, like... a Grace Kelly or anything like that when you're a black woman, at least not in America. So she went over to France. In France, at the age of 19, she starred in a show called Revue Negre, and she performed completely nude with a male partner. So she was like doing a review show, like a woman review show or whatever, or a woman and male review show.
What's a review show?
That's like a fancy term for a strip show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or what's the other word for it? Burlesque show.
Burlesque.
Yeah, burlesque.
Oh, that's
show.
Fun.
Yeah, so she was doing that, and she was dancing, but the interesting thing, well, first of all, France was in a weird time where they were colonizing Africa, but also, like, very appreciative of African art and black people while shitting on them and, like, taking their land.
It's like America right now, is it not?
That's what
really
it's always been.
Appreciating black culture.
Yeah.
That's history.
Yeah. That's, like, the beginning of colonization or whatever.
France. Except it's, there's, the respect isn't here yet, though.
What?
Win on the...
Oh, yeah.
The respect of the culture is...
Yeah, but
minus
I mean,
the colonization would be great.
If she was, like... Well, I don't know. I don't know the full expansion of her life, but she was, like, you know, you guys shouldn't be colonizing countries in Africa. Would they have still respected her? Because, like, white people don't respect us here because we're, like, hey, you treat us bad. And then all of a sudden, how bad that becomes into, like, you're a nigger.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But... Yeah, so she was doing that, and, like, the contrast being that before, like, French art or French dancing was, like, ballet and very, like, upright and tuck your butt in and stuff like that. Hated that. I used to take ballet. But she would, like, dance the Charleston and, like, do all of these other motions in regards to, like, what they were doing during minstrel dancing. And she was, like, twerking at the time.
Good.
Like, it was very, like, not upright, hunched over, back out, stuff like that. The fact that you said good. And people thought it was both fun and sexy, and it propelled her to stardom.
Yeah, just because I took ballet and I did the same, like...
The tucking your butt thing was really annoying.
Especially
it's
since it's, like, my tailbone is tucked in. My ass will still be
exactly.
out. My tailbone is where it
exactly.
should be. This is my body.
Yeah.
Deal the fuck with it.
Yeah. So she was propelled into stardom. And then she started doing this thing called the banana dance, which the origins of her outfit are uncertain. Basically, it was a skirt with a whole bunch of fake bananas on it. Some people say it was her idea. Some people say it was the idea of a partner she was with at the time. But... basically the imagery that came about was like, this is a woman dancing with a whole bunch of phallic symbols around her waist. Mm. Like they look like a whole bunch of dicks or whatever. And the dance that went along with it is kind of ambiguous in regards to how you look at it. Like, she was depicted as a quote-unquote savage or wild woman or whatever on stage with a white male hunter or whatever. So that's already problematic as fuck. But she would, like, dance and flirt with him and then, like, run away and laugh at him or whatever, and then dance again. And ultimately it ends with her, like, flashing her actual ass to him and then running off stage. So it's like, I can flirt with this white guy, but he at the end he doesn't, like, own my sexuality. Mm. That's how a lot of people interpret it today. And then also, because it's a woman who's, like, shaking her ass and making dicks move, it's like, I'm ultimately in control of your dick.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. And that's the analysis I would like to go with it. Yeah, and then after that, she just kind of, like, the banana dance, I think it was, like, reinvented over the course of, like, 30 years. Like, she just kept reinventing it and redesigning the thing and, like, adding stuff to the, adding modern stuff to the dance and stuff like that. She was a sex symbol in France. French women wanted to look like her, be like her, wanted to wear her hair because she had, like, that flattened down, like, wavy hair type situation, yeah, that nobody was wearing before her. So she was like, oh, the Rihanna of her time, honestly.
I know she was that much of a pioneer.
Yeah.
That's fun. That is not what I went to an all-black dance school. That is, mm-hmm, not what I learned about this woman.
What did you learn about her?
She just did a banana dance. Very famous in France. Like,
that's why we've got to, like,
I was
expand.
A child at the time, hence
we've got to expand
it's
it.
About the children. It is.
That rhymed. Three times. Well,
yeah, she parlayed that into becoming a singer, then went on to become the first black international movie star.
Ooh.
It's like a movie called Siren in Haiti or something like that. Was a spy for France during World War II. She would, like, smuggle information for the opposing side or information against the Nazis, like, to and from the French and German border, if there even is a border, I don't know. But whatever, she would smuggle it both ways because they wouldn't look at her because they were like, oh, that's just Josephine Baker. But she would have, like, important documents in the music notes and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, her band was actually, like, the ops. Like, they were the spies themselves.
Oh, shit.
They just, like, knew how to do music or something like that.
I mean, it's part of your spyness, your espionage.
Yeah, and then...
You learn real skills.
Yeah, true. The climate got too hot. She moved to Morocco, spent the rest of her days there just performing for the troops, like, just to, like, boost morale and stuff like that. But was, like, certain to be like, hey, the troops have to be desegregated if I'm going to perform for them.
I love this.
And
this
then,
hoe is a spy.
Exactly.
She's about, like, desegregation.
She's so awesome, or was so awesome. Then came back to, faked her death, maybe. There was, like, reports. There was reports of her dying while in Morocco, but I don't know if she leaked that information or somebody else leaked that information and she just went along with it, but she wasn't like, hey, I'm alive. So her death was faked, yeah, for a little bit. Popped up in France like, hey, I'm back, bitches. I'm
JK,
alive.
JK, got my banana belt.
Exactly. And then she was, like, such a huge star at the time that people in America wanted to book her. So there was this club in Miami that wanted to her to perform there, and she was like, it was like $10,000 a week or something like that, or like poor performance. And she was like, nah, I'm not doing it unless you desegregate your club. And they did a tour in Miami, won like a NAACP award for like most influential woman at the time. Shit. And then something happened. Oh, she got into like this beef with a white guy at a bar. She was at a bar and then like, I think the people at the bar were being discriminatory against her. And there was this white publisher or white journalist who was there. And he was like, he didn't do anything to help her, even though he was her friend at the time. So afterwards, she was like, yo, fuck everybody in that bar and this nigga. And he was like, wait, fuck me? You're a communist. And he like wrote this whole thing about her and was like, it was like during the Red Scare where everybody was like afraid of communists. She actually revoked her American citizenship way back when she was like, fuck America. So he called her a communist and she got deported.
Oh my God.
And her whole shit stopped, like the whole tour that she was supposed to be doing stopped and stuff like that. And she had to go back to France. So meanwhile, she was like the whole, her whole career, she wanted to like be accepted in the country that she was from. So like, yeah, that put her down.
That's hard.
It also fucked up her money, but she also like had this ideal of being like just multiculturalism and like equality. So she went on to adopt 12 kids called them the Rainbow Club. The kids were from, or the Rainbow Tribe, rather. They were all from different, like, countries and stuff like that. But, like, they made her broke because they're 12 kids. So she, like, spent the rest of her life fucking working and being on stage, like, looking gorgeous as fuck, performing her ass off, singing her ass off.
But because she needed to support people now instead
Yeah, exactly. And then also, like, worked till the day she died, you know? Like, wow. She worked, I think, the night before she died, and she had a stroke.
Oh, shit.
But, you know, great woman, though. I just, it made me sad doing this because I was like, I wish these people, like, got to fulfill the lives that they actually just deserved as being human beings.
That's why Hidden Figures gave me something deep, because they all got, like, some sort of representation where it's like, all these people, like, you don't even know how much of an influence you are
exactly,
right now.
Exactly.
And other people
until
don't know
after
how much.
The fact. Yeah. Yeah. And that's it for Fuck It. All right. Now on to Fuck Me, the fuck segment me. About our lives. I've got two co-hosts and, they've been here. Now they're going the fuck away. Thank you.
Yeah, let me give you a shoulder
thank
room
you,
too.
Thank you.
It's okay.
Throw your hands in the All right, room. So you know, tell me about your lives, guys.
Where you go been? First, Where Lucas.
Why me?
You're the youngest. No, you're not.
I am.
Yeah.
Therefore, you are the middle.
What happened?
You're the middle child,
so you get to go first.
Yeah, because we always get ignored, middle children.
What the fuck.
I got everything.
Fucking Mike, this should be legal. I don't know. So I got a job at Print Shop.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, and that's nice.
Yeah.
Have a little bit of money, I guess.
Oh, nice. Shit. Money is cool.
Vaguely disposable income.
Mm. He's a part of the capitalistic society now.
Yeah. Other than that, what the hell has that been for? there was I was working on Offscat again.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Other than that, I was working on shit. I worked on a music video.
Oh shit! What'd you do?
Animated it.
Ooh.
That's like it's only a minute long, but it's like yeah, it was for Dramangar. Shout out to Dramangar.
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 Okay.
It's like I'm not gonna spell it. Fuck you, man. oh, shit.
Ooh.
I forgot. I got diagnosed with chronic fatigue. That was nice.
Chronic fatigue.
Wow.
I get tired often.
Why?
Weak. Oh, weird. So I've been on antivirals and generic Ritalin for the last 4 months.
How's that working out?
Now it's working out great. In the beginning, it was kind of weird because... I don't know, I'm a lightweight, so...
Lucas was getting fucked up, guys.
Yeah, I was...
on a daily basis, and documenting
with
it on
the approval
Snapchat.
Of a doctor.
I did.
Every other day was like, meds got me fucked up.
Well, then one day I was like, literally, like, I was just at Hunter, I was just like completely zoned out for like a good 4 hours.
Jeez.
Wow. It is like twice the dosage that they give kids.
Oh my god.
So that was hilarious.
It's all about the kids. It's all about the kids.
What's been happening with you guys?
I'll let Shaniqua go.
Alright. Well, life's been hard. It's been difficult.
Tell us about it. This is therapy.
Let's see. Well, I'm going therapy to start seeing a therapist. Mm-hmm. Then I think it's sliding scale. Starts at $40
what does
per
that mean?
Session. They do it based on your income.
Okay.
And I told the woman, I was like, I make X amount, and it's like $40 to $60. She's like, oh, you're 45 or 50. And I was like, I prefer 45 to 50. But that was also before, so I got like a shift cut at my job, so now I'm only working 2 days a week, which is officially not enough. And I officially realized that my job sucks. My job sucks. Employer. I don't care. Job sucks. Family life not good. In like a major dramatic way, like the worst Christmas of my life.
I'm so sorry.
Like went home, said that I was going to the city, back home, but instead just went to hang out at John's family's place with John. Like bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
What has that been? What is it? I don't know. I feel like I've been suffering from a lack of self-care for the past. Birth until this moment.
Oh no.
So I think it's this is
You're
like
the self-curious
a time of,
person I know.
You know, I'm not. Well, not true. You know me. I don't know what you, I don't know who you know, but I'm not like as good as I'd like to be about it. trying to do 5 cups of water a day. Like, I'm
what are you averaging right now as she takes
it can be nothing. Like, I have, like, I don't, like, I grew up on a lot of juice, so, like,
I mean, water juice is no has fun. Water in it.
But, like, it's like if something is, like, a diuretic, like, you're peeing out more liquid than you're consuming.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, I'm dehydrated.
I see. Sip of water. Yeah.
But,
rehydration.
And then, like, work is weird. Because I think, like, as, like, I think this is appropriate because we're all, like, independent artists for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to pay you to get better at something that you want to do for yourself and your own edification.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you work for some sort of, like military something and they're paying you to get a college degree. But, like, no job is going to be like, hey, you have a cool idea. You know, develop this. Here's no oversight. Just have fun. Fuck up. Learn about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel like the things that I need and want most out of life don't have anything to do with, I think, the pursuit of, like, money.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the fact that we live in a capitalist society, so I need a job, I need health care, I have asthma, I have a chronic disease. So, like, literally the cost of the 2 inhalers I need a month
mm-hmm.
are, like, twice the cost of my rent. So, like, that's, like, very scary to me. Because, like, okay, like, if I go, like, the bartending route, like, okay, let me just, like, try to make as much money as possible in as little time as possible while working on a craft, building a portfolio, being an independent artist. But, like, I'm not what Donald Trump wants to do to my healthcare and the quality of my lungs. It's very stressful, you know? So I think I'm just, like, facing what a lot of people are facing right now, which is, like, a weird economy, a crumbling economy. Like, the idea that you can come out of college and not have any better opportunities than someone who went. And then if you're someone who, like, doesn't have high school teachers, not being able to get into college. Like, I think I'm just, like, realizing that the American dream is only for people who have money, or, like, our culture is so, like, individualistic
mm-hmm.
that, like, it's like we focus on, like, independent cases of success versus, like, working together to achieve
success
for everybody. And every time I go to write a cover letter, all of this comes up. So I have very... I have a very hard time.
Ultimately,
like,
fuck this organization, but please hire me.
Yeah, basically, that's what it is. So it's demoralizing. Gotcha. So, but I've been doing writing a lot of poetry.
Yeah. At Shani Kapow on Instagram.
Yeah. And those are, like, I don't know if I call them poems. They're just little phrases, you know. I've been reading this book called The Artist's Way, which is, like, a really fun way of, like, unlocking your creativity. Just mm-hmm. saying, hey, don't focus on the process or the fame or whatever you could get out of being creative. Focus on the process and, like, what it does for you. Because your ego says, hey, I've written 50 poems. But your soul says, hey, I enjoy writing poetry. So I'm trying to focus on the process part of everything. My ego wants to write a book of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea for a novel, which could easily be a screenplay, which could easily be, like, a audio story. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care what form it is, but...
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to happen. Screenwriting seems way less intimidating than it did prior to taking a bunch of comedy writing classes. I totally write, like, a fucking something fun and fictional. But, yeah, I'm just, like, any ordinary, broke, independent artist trying to, you know, live a good life.
I'm sure a lot of us can identify with that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, no problema.
Cool, guys. Well, nothing has happened to me, and I'll go on with nothing now.
You just have good eyebrows?
Had good eyebrows. I actually felt like they were lacking today, because I did them before I put on my foundation, and I was like, wow, why the fuck did I do that? I was just trying to, like, conserve time, and they got a little crazy, so I had to, like, reline them back in.
No, they look good to me.
Thank you. Shit has fucking sucked, man. Like, it's been really, really rough and hard. I don't know, like, grief of, like, the type of grief that I've experienced. I never thought that I would have to deal with that early in my life. Like, that was, like, mm-hmm. my biggest fear, like, my parents fucking dying, or one parent dying. And I expected it for some time. I never talked about the fact that my mom was sick on the podcast, but, like, I made reference to the fact that I had a sick family member who I was, like, staying home, taking care of, or whatever. So it was, like... expected, and in the last couple of days I knew that she was, like, you know, heading towards that, and that's why I was like, I can't, like, do this anymore, and I won't be able to do it for a couple of months, because I knew it was going to happen, but I just still wasn't ready for it, and I don't know if you can ever be ready for something like that. So yeah, it's just been like really rough. I mean, like the week after it happened was just like shit. Like I was like being pressured into like doing a funeral, and I felt like I at least need like 2 weeks to properly plan a funeral for like the person I've known for my entire life. Yeah, it happened the week after. It happened like literally a week after.
Yeah, it's hard.
Oh, it was just like terrible. And I mean, it still is because like that was like one of my best friends, and my mom. I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing with my life. Like I'm still unemployed as I was before, but now I'm like unemployed without purpose. Because I'm like not taking care of anyone anymore, and that was like my routine for like a year. So now it's like refinding a routine, refinding what like I'm supposed to do with my life. I also feel like in regards to like the industry, like the media industry, I've fallen behind in a lot of stuff. Like I still have a T4I and I'm still like editing on Final Cut 7 and stuff like that. So I've been taking time to like brush up on my skills and stuff like that. And like
none of that's your fault because none of that shit is free.
Yeah, it's not
accessible.
It's not. And then also like I didn't want to do it. Like I mean I can tour it my way. I can tour it my ass off, but like I didn't want to do that at that time. But yeah, so I've been trying to like re-brush up on my stuff and like get ready to like re-enter the workforce or whatever, but still taking my time because I am like reliant off of my father, thank God. Like I do have privileges. And I don't know, just like taking a day at a time, not trying to like be too hard on myself and stuff like that. Yeah, but, you know, it just, like, it sucks, and it will suck for quite some time, but, you know, it feels, no, it doesn't feel better every day. It's, like, a toss-up. Like, some days you're, like, okay, and you don't think about it. Some days it's all that you think about. Some days you're just chilling, and it'll just come to your mind. I have dreams. I've been having, like, a lot of dreams about her lately, like, in regards to, like, her final days, where it's, like, she's still alive. It's, like, oh, we should do this, like, because we used to, like, plan shit together and stuff like that. So I just had a dream, like, recently where we were, like, planning a Halloween party. I don't know, it was really random. I just like Halloween. And yeah, so yeah, it's, I don't know, it's weird. It's very surreal. It's very odd thinking about the fact that I'm in this situation because I don't think, like, some bad stuff has happened to me in my life, like some traumatizing stuff, but I feel like that's one of the worst things ever, and I never thought that, like, that would happen to me. Or to my family or anything like that. So it's just been, like, rough. But, yeah, trying to get back into the swing of things. In regards to the sex, love, and dating, because this is what this podcast is about, I have, like, no desire for sex lately. Like, I just don't really care. Like, sometimes I'll get, like, horny and be like, okay. But, yeah, it's just not there. And I'm like, wow, will I ever want to have sex again? That's it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But you're doing a lot despite all that. You're manning a podcast, renting a studio. Your eyebrows look great. You're doing more things than I can see you doing, but
thank you.
You're killing it.
Thank you. Moving on to fuck you.
All right, so this is a segment called
Fuck You, the segment about your lives. Please send in your stories, questions, comments, concerns, whatever the fuck you gotta say to us, to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
So this is an international inquiry.
Woo!
It's coming straight from London, from Candy. All right. Yeah. I just like to say, I want to say send us. This is so sad. I'm not going to be a host anymore.
That's okay.
But send your stories in because they still will make me happy.
Yay.
Hi, guys. I absolutely love your podcast. I came across it because I'm 25 years old, and for a bunch of reasons, I'm still a virgin and about to lose my virginity to a guy who is into BDSM. Ooh. Just so you know, typing BDSM into iTunes comes up with your podcast, that laughing that. Cry face emoji. I just wanted to let you guys know that you are doing so much to put my mind at ease and feel a lot more confident about getting down to it because of how open and honest you are about sex, which is undoing a shit ton of sexual repression that has its roots in a pretty religious household and an all-girl school and college.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much just got into sexting, which is kind of a big deal for me, and it feels really liberating and empowering. I wrote that. I'm just kidding. Thank
it's like,
you.
What's the point of it all?
So, I've just started your podcast, and I'm blowing through it pretty quickly, particularly looking forward to the one on virginity. I hope you did a good job.
Me too.
I was wondering what your take is on the opposite of slut-shaming, being made to feel like there's something wrong with you, or you're
Stush. Oh, that means like you're like uptight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In, like, patois.
All right, I will. Oh shit, I'm Jamaican. I'll read that whole sentence again.
I was wondering what your take is on the opposite of slut shaming, being made to feel like there's something wrong with you or you're stush or anti-feminist because you either haven't had sex until pretty late into the game or you haven't had sex with many partners. It sucks, and although I haven't actively been trying to lose my virginity, it's not something that I have clinged onto so that I could lose it with the perfect person and it would be a magical rainbow party. But guys, or at least in my experience, once you've dropped the V-bomb, got freaked out, like, if we ever fucked, then I would imprint on them or something. Twilight reference, I love you. Anyway, keep doing what you're doing, guys. Shout out from a London fan. Yellow hey, London. Fist.
Aw. That means you don't got an iPhone. Fuck you. No, I'm just kidding.
So,
thank you, Candy.
Yeah, thank you. What is my take on anti-slut shaming? I mean, fuck anybody who's shaming you for not, for like doing conforming whatever you want to with whatever, your body.
Yeah, exactly.
Have as much sex as you want, have as little sex as you want, mm-hmm. do it safely and consensually.
Mm-hmm.
You're living a good life.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah, no one should be fucking with you.
Yeah. As for the guys, I feel like guys think that their dicks have more influence than they actually do. Like, just because you've had sex with someone for the first time doesn't mean you're going to fall in love with them by any means. No. So that sucks that she's going through that. Yeah. I don't know how to combat that, though, unless I, like, deprogram and reprogram all of, like, cisgender male or men or whatever.
It's like,
but she can just, like, tell them that, like, you're not going to have that big of an effect on me.
Yeah, or be like, hey, we're going to have sex. I'll talk to you 3 months after. You know? It's like, oh, you're a virgin. You're going to be stuck on me like a puppy. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to come, hopefully. You're going to come as well.
I mean, if the guy thinks you're going to fall in love with him after sex, you're probably not going to come, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, don't even fuck. I'm like, you're better off masturbating.
Yeah.
That's
it. Have as much or as little sex as you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's your body. Be mm-hmm. very, be safe and respectful to yourself, whatever respect means to you.
Mm-hmm.
Live a good life. Die a good death. And you're set.
What's a good death?
Pick a war. I don't know. I have no idea. Die in your sleep.
Well, Candy.
The end. Sorry. Thanks, Candy.
Hope we helped you out. Thanks for writing. Thanks for listening while we were on hiatus and writing while we were on hiatus. Yeah, so that's it for the Innerhoe fucking uprising.
Yeah!
Thank you guys for coming back for that one last hoorah.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It would be like, wouldn't that be so weird if I didn't?
Yes.
Like, if I just fucking, started with a whole new, people. Like, hey, this is Tantisha.
Hello, this is Taraji P. Henson. I'm here with Rihanna, and we're here to... They would have a great podcast. I fucking love those
people. Yeah, they would. I do love both of those people.
But we're not
much.
Them.
Yes, so. We are.
You're right.
We the fuck are. Yeah, that's the Innerhoe Uprising podcast. You can make comments on anything you heard today by using hashtag Innerhoe Uprising on any platform that allows for hashtags. You can follow this podcast on slam_pow, which, if you're okay with, I'll be changing to Innerhoe Uprising. I'll probably do that after this episode, so depending on when you're listening, type in either slam_pow or type in Innerhoe Uprising and you'll probably find it. Whichever it is, I will link to in the description for this episode. You can go to the website for this podcast at innerhoeuprising.com and buy some really cool merch, or you can pay a fucking bitch. What the hell else can you do? That's it. Yeah, you can follow me personally if you care about what I have to say at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow me on Snapchat at Samanners, SamAnnerz. Would you guys care to shout out your social mediums?
Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram at Shanika Powell, SHANIKAPOWELL.
I've always admired your creativity.
It's my full legal name. That's what it is. Minus my middle name, which starts with an A. That's it. That's where I'm at.
Okay. Lucas, request.
Abstract Fishco, pretty much every social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much everything. Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, I don't know.
Okay, cool.
Twitter.
Yeah, the new platform that we're on doesn't allow for like copyright infringement other unless it's like fair use, so there's no more little something sexy.
Aww.
This is tragic.
But we should send it out with a bang.
Okay. Whatever the... Oh, maybe I'll make, like, co-hosts do a little something sexy.
Yeah.
All right, do something sexy, guys. I did not plan for this.
Okay. So I've been singing this... I've been singing this... I'm perfectly prepared.
Go for it.
I've been singing this to my boyfriend every morning.
Okay.
Oh, for a long time. It's an inside joke now.
Okay.
It's not so inside anymore.
Dick-ass Shitman. Walt Whitman. Yeah! That's it.
Oh, wow. when I joined in. Okay.
That's it.
Dick-ass Shitman, Walt Whitman. Okay. Yeah.
They're your problem now.
Goodbye.